In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? So if you are preaching in Maryland today, and you preach for the San Francisco 49ers, you might get run out of town and led to the brow of a cliff and hurled off it. Or if you're preaching in San Francisco and you root for Maryland, you might get run out of town and brought to the brow of a cliff and thrown off of it. And as I was talking with my friends on Facebook this week about the sort of delicious irony of being called to preach prophetically, if you will, in my hometown, about what happens when you preach prophetically in your hometown, I stopped and got to thinking about what I might say that is the true gospel, the good news of Jesus, that might get me run out of town and thrown off of a cliff. And I think it's a question that I want to pose to all of us, because I think if we do Christianity properly, if we really disciple ourselves to Jesus, then we have to begin pretty early on by saying that the world is not the way that it should be. Now, it doesn't mean that the world is terrible. It doesn't mean that we don't have beautiful and astonishing acts of love and charity and grace and care for each other in the world. But it does mean that things happen that shouldn't, and that people treat one another in ways that they shouldn't. And I believe that however well we act out our faith, however wonderfully we do accept and enact the gospel of Jesus, the good news that we're called to take into ourselves and to make known by word and deed and example and the witness of our very lives into the world, however good we are at that, there's probably something in each of us that if we were that we're doing wrong, and that if somebody challenged us with it on the wrong day or in the wrong way, we would want to do what the synagogue in Nazareth did and run those people out of town. That's an important question, isn't it? What that is in ourselves that we do, that we not only do wrong, but that we hate being told to quit doing wrong. Those moments where we know that we should be loving, but somehow we fall short of it, and we don't want to change that part of ourselves. Maybe we think other people should change first. Maybe we think, and someone does, or maybe we think that there's something in the world that just isn't fair, and if we're the person who's being loving in the face of that unfairness that's just going to roll over us if we do, then we're just being fools. Maybe we think, I'll change once I get a little more stable myself. I'll change once I have a little more stability or wealth or financial security, or once I have more social security. Once I'm convinced that people can see me and love me for who I am, then I'll work on seeing them and loving them for who they are. There are points in our lives where we don't want to hear the gospel. There are moments when the good news sounds terrifying. There are days when the statements of Jeremiah, that God is with us from the womb to the grave, anywhere we go in the world, on the heights of mountains, in the depths of Sheol, wheresoever we go, that God is with us. There are days when that doesn't sound like good news, but terrible news, because it means that we are always accountable to a God that we don't know if we can live up to the vision of. We don't know if we can be the person that God has called us to be. We don't know if we can follow that example that Christ has given. We don't know if it's going to make a difference, even if we can, or if the world will just swallow up our kindness into its noise. Those are the hard days to be a Christian. The great commandments of Jesus, when they went to him and asked him, you know, the law is so challenging, the law is so great, the law is so much bigger than my ability to fulfill it, what are the more important commandments? The commandments that Jesus gave to them, or love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But even those are tough, aren't they? It's easy to love God when everything's going well. It's easy to praise God for creation and our gifts and our kindnesses when we are healthy, when we are fit, when we are stable, when our family's doing okay, when our friends are doing okay. It's harder to praise God with thanksgiving when we are sick, or when the world isn't fair, or when people are terrible to one another or to the ones that we love, or when someone we know is going through illness or grief. It's harder to love them. It's harder to let go of our sense that the world needs to be called to a justice that we don't see from God, and a justice that we don't see from one another, a justice that we can't find when we look around. It's harder to be loving. And in the same way, it's easy to love those neighbors that we already like. It's easy to love our friends. It's easy to say, yeah, I'll go the extra mile for my friend Polly who, when she's sick, and I'll make her dinner and take it over there. It's harder to say, gosh, you know, I'm in the middle of a busy day, and there's a Super Bowl later, and I have to make dip and get myself somewhere on time. And somebody that I don't know called me up and needs me to come to a hospital visit and just go say a prayer with somebody. It's harder to work that into my life. It's a bigger challenge. It's harder to be loving to the people that we don't know or that we think won't love us in return. It's hard to be loving to the people who we think hate us, the people we don't feel tolerate us, the people whose political positions are different than ours. And if I wanted to give everyone their morning calisthenics and cardio workout, all I have to do is say gun control. It's hard to love the people who disagree with us on things that we care passionately about. It's hard to keep our ears and hearts and minds open to them. It's hard to remember that they, like we, are children of God on high, who has made a very good creation for us to have stewardship over and care for and love. That lesson that we have from 1 Corinthians, the stories about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of who we are with one another, this is read very often at weddings and may have been read at some of yours, talks about what love is. Love is patient and love is kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. And we've heard the truth as Christians over and over again. We've heard the good news of the gospel and the witness of Jesus Christ, but we don't always get there. We don't always add to our followership, our discipleship. We don't always add to that the love that we're called to. We don't always practice loving when it's hard so that we're able to do it when it seems impossible. But that is exactly what Jesus has called us to do. Football teams are easy. Loving KU or K-State or even the Missouri Tigers is easy compared to loving the people that really hurt us, the people who really hurt our children or our parents or our friends. Finding a way to be responsive and caring, not to let go of our anger or to ignore the hurt that we can do to each other, but to be firm and caring when we respond to it. To look at our own lives and say, where have I failed in my stewardship of what God's given me to be steward over? Those are the questions that are hard for us. And if you catch us on the wrong day and challenge us on those things, we will run you out of town and throw you over a cliff. We know how to do it. We're really good at that. We're good at taking the opinions of people that we need to dismiss and getting them right out of here. I've heard over and over again that part of what the internet and mass media have done for us is they've made it possible to only listen to people that already think and feel and care the way we do. It's possible to go through your week without ever hearing somebody's opinion that's different from your own. It's possible to live in the United States and to only talk to people who are your race or your faith, your political party, the people who want and care in the same way you do, and to ignore and drown out the voices of everyone else saying, we think we need something too. We think we have a piece of the truth as well. We think that we too have stewardship of something, and we want to challenge you with what we have to say. And it's especially hard if we don't feel like they want to hear what we have to say too. I think that in the abstract, we all know that when you start listening, it makes it easier for other people to listen too. That when you start loving, it makes it easier for other people to love too. And when you start caring, it makes it easier for other people to care for you as well, or to join with you in caring for the world. But it is hard. It's hard to be the first one. The first one in your family, the first one in the argument, whatever it might be, the first one in your school or profession or culture to say, we need to do things a little differently. You know, we're called to be better than what we're being right now. It's tough to step out ahead of things. It's tough to feel like it's our job when no one else is doing it either. It's hard to live in each and every day into that calling to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, as we love those who are near to us and dear to us. These are deep challenges from Jesus that go all the way to the depths of us. The example of Jesus' life is a terrifying one about this because he showed us a way of love and care and kindness towards neighbors and to people who are different from him. When he's preaching in Nazareth, they don't run him out of town for saying that the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled in him. They don't run him out of town for hinting that he might be the Messiah. They were ready for a Messiah. They were ready for it to be a carpenter's son. These were a people whose king had been David, a shepherd boy brought in from the fields and anointed to become great and over them and make them into a nation. These people were ready for a carpenter's son to rise up and lead them and to create an army that would drive Rome away, that would restore the glory of the temple and the worship of God in Jerusalem. They were ready for that. But what they didn't want to hear that day in Nazareth were stories that the prophets had gone to people outside of Israel, to Zarephath in Sidon, or to heal Naaman, the leper, in Syria. These weren't the people of Israel. These were the people on the outside. These weren't the people of their community. These weren't the hometown crowd. These were other folks. Jesus wasn't going to do in Nazareth what he did in Capernaum. And when he told them that, they drove him away. When he failed to be the Messiah in the way they expected him to, and instead preached a gospel of kindness and love, the vision of the Beatitudes, that the poor and the merciful were blessed, and that those who had the attention and popularity of the world were falling short of what they might be in the world. When Jesus told them that story, they found a way to put him on a cross. And from that cross, he pronounced forgiveness, that we might try again, that we might hear again the message that we're called to love and to be better than we are. These are not challenges that go away. And the pieces of ourselves that don't want to live into that vision that's greater than we are, those pieces don't go away either. We can't get rid of them. We can only commit to opposing them. We can only commit to following Jesus each and every day and to try our hardest to live lives that have ears to hear and eyes to see, those opportunities to pay attention to the opportunities to live the gospel in our world. They'll happen for you each and every day. They'll happen for you today. They'll happen for you tomorrow and this week and through this month. Over and over again, God will invite you into a fullest vision for your life. Some days, all we can do as Christians is make our prayer that we're paying enough attention to notice God when God enters into our lives. Some days all we can do is hope that we do it right this time. But God will walk those roads with us and build us up into people who have strength to do that over and over again. And when we do that, we begin to change the world. We begin to be a sign of Christ's love that other people can be drawn to and transformed by. So I make my prayer for you this week that you can find those moments and follow them, that you can let Christ into your life where he seeks to enter in, that when you hear those knockings, you open the door and pay attention to where you're being challenged to be bigger than you are. And if you happen to catch yourself getting ready to drive somebody away or throw somebody over a cliff in your own life, I hope that you notice that too and stop yourself short or go back to the moment and think about what it was that made you feel that way and what Jesus could have been challenging you to do instead. All these things we make our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.